Okay. So let's start with the case of the Rashba and the Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll move from there to step back and understand. Just take a different perspective on Chatekad Ishiz Kechavercha. So we have the Tshuva of the Rashba in Chelek Zayin Siman Reis Lamed Zayin, and it's a case lemaisa of Chatekad Ishiz Kechavercha, right? So Chana, why don't you just tell us what's going on in the Rashba's case?
Basically, someone's daughter has been like captured by people who want to convert her.
Okay, so let's read it for a second. We'll be inside for a second. That's just the parentheses.
Oni shall be shash or tiaha may be tabish about the chesta, or you days to shumar, or tiyan kaisa. Even Talish Lach, the Arabi, Hashu, the Yerakarat, the Shabbat, and through the Kutu Shalish first three so, the Mandis Verle, the Kum Shalish first so, the Reifa, the Fulu Havi, the Ado, full time, the Tata Mahus. We have a Kisafik, Nefasha, the Kelula.
Okay, this is very interesting. So what's the question here?
Can the father go as a Kum Shabbat to save a daughter who was taken out of the city?
Now, can the father be Machal Shabbos Midoraisa, Lamad Amar Tchum Shabbos Doraisa, in order to save his daughter from, I guess, being converted? That's the question. So, what's interesting is, what's the suffix according to the Shoel? What's he interested in? Right, he's interested in whether it's suffix Dine Nefashos. If it is Dine Nefashos, then we know that Dine Nefashos in the Gemara Numa is Doche Shabbos, either because of a chaybehem or because of chal Shabbos achas kedesh yishmor Shabbos is harbei, or is it not? In which case, you can't be machal Shabbos. Interestingly, when the Rashba responds, what does he respond in terms of?
V'heishiv.
So the Rashba acknowledges that it's a complicated question, but nonetheless, he has an answer. So implicit in his answer, what does the Rashba think about the Pikuach Nefesh question?
It's not
Pikuach Nefesh. Because if it was a Pikuach Nefesh question, then it shouldn't be relevant to Chatei Kedei Shiyiz Kechavercha. Nobody thinks that your obligation to save a Chola on Shabbos, you're allowed to violate Shabbos for a Chola, right? Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakan. Nobody thinks that's Midin Chatei Kedei Shiyiz Kechavercha.
Is it that you're allowed to, or that you have to?
You have to. So nobody thinks that you're sinning in order to save him. I don't know if anybody saw the Tshuva of the Radvaz.
Yeah.
From a while ago. Mm-hmm. Not the one in the last Marmukomos.
Yeah, the one with about the Chola.
Yeah. So what are the... Yeah. So that's really a question. That's not the Radvaz suffix. That's really the suffix of the Or Zeruah and the Maharam. Let's say you have a Chola on Shabbos. What's better? To shecht a kosher animal for him. So you're violating one of the Avos Malachos and you would be Chayiv Skila. Or just to feed the Chola Nevela. Right, which is an Isser Lav. So it's a weaker level Isser. But there's no Chilo Shabbos. So there's no Chilo Shabbos, the weaker level Isser. But what's the suffix? It shouldn't be obvious. Of course, you go for the lower level Isser. What's the suffix?
Because if it's Docha, then maybe you're not doing it.
Exactly. Once you say Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos, so you're violating Shabbos for the Chola is perfectly sanctioned. Isser Nevela is not totally sanctioned. Right? Because Shabbos is just done away with in the face of Pikuach Nefesh. So it's fascinating that the Radvaz actually invokes in the inverse sense, right? The chola is not mechuyev to sin by eating the nevela in order so that the Yisrael, his friend, violates less of Shabbos. Right? Counterintuitive. So I'm saying he's not even entertaining the fact that it's he's not even entertaining the fact that the healthy person is chatei kedei shiyiz kechavercha. If anything, the chola is chatei kedei shiyiz kechavercha. Okay? That's the point of the Radvaz. So the Rashba here says it's not Pikuach Nefesh, it's a question of Chatei Kedei Shiyiz Kechavercha, and how does he paskin on Chatei, Chana? Is that obvious?
I mean, not really.
Okay, good. Why? Can Muchach Migamar Shabbos? So why isn't that obvious? Good proof from the Gemara Shabbos. You're not allowed to violate a Shvus of Radiyas HaPas in order to save your friend from Nisar Skila of Afia. That's his proof. All right, so why is that not a good proof?
Because there, in the Zerida, it probably said, isn't it like it's Pachor, and you have to figure out how it's Pachor?
Well, no. The Gemara seems to say it's usher for me to save you from your Aveir of Chil Shabbos. I'm allowed to save myself. I'm just not allowed to save you.
Okay.
So he's a good proof from Gemara Shabbos, right?
Yeah. Okay.
But so the poor girl, you're gonna let her be taken out of the town on Shabbos and no one's gonna save her?
I mean, it's Shabbos, I don't know. She's not high.
How would you counter the Rashba's proof?
I would say that for Mitzvah Rabbah, then it's different. It's not. It's that. That's a case of like preventing an Isser. That's different from actively causing a mitzvah.
What's causing? There's no mitzvah here.
So, well, saving her, you're like.
You're preventing her from being
so
mishtamed.
If you can find a way to make this case with the Golos taking out of the city more parallel to one of Tosfos cases of like, when that's allowed, then...
Okay, excellent. Meaning you would say the Rashba was assuming like one answer in Tosos. Which answer? In Tosos, the very first answer. That the only time you have a heter to save somebody else is if you caused the Avera to happen. Right? Otherwise, the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Dalet is the controlling psak for Chatei Kedeshis Kechavercha. Meaning, you're not allowed to sin unless you're the cause of the Avera. Here, are you the cause of the Avera? Absolutely not. Good. That's the Rashba's answer. And I think that's how he... Right? Last line. Al Yadoka Amar. What do you do with the Gemara in Erevin? The Gemara in Erevin is because you caused it. He's assuming the first day in Tosfos. Beis Yosef sees this tshuva of the Rashba, and he's very upset. Right? How does he paskin? What's the first thing that the Beis Yosef does to deflect the proof of the Rashba? Rachel, do you see it?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's...
The first thing he does... I think he points to Tosfos instead.
Yeah, he points to Tosfos, and he says Tosfos already pointed out that there are other answers. What answer specifically does he invoke?
Mitzvah Rabbah.
When it comes to a Mitzvah Rabbah b'fnei, Mitzvah Zuta, not just... Now, here's the important point. It's not just a question of greater versus weaker Mitzvah. Right? It's not just that you could scale one Mitzvah against the other. Because otherwise the Gemara in Shabbos is also a case of Mitzvah Rabbah against the Mitzvah Zuta, because one's a Drabban and one's a Daraisa.
No, it's objective.
Right, it's an objective, it's something that's classified as an objective Mitzvah Rabbah. So now he has to say that the case of this girl who's taken out of the town is a case of Mitzvah Rabbah. Okay, so how is this a Mitzvah Rabbah? How many cases of Mitzvah Rabbah do we have?
Peruvu. Yeah, well, if you count...
Minion,
yeah.
Do we have any others? Mitzvah Rabbah, Mitzvah Dirabim. Comes up in the Rishonim on Hardaf. That's one other example. Tosa Rush deflects the question from Karban Pesach by...
Oh.
Right? He says that Karban Pesach is a Karban Tzibur. Very fascinating.
Yeah.
If you read Rambam's Hakdama in Perish HaMishnayis, I think in his Hakdama to Seder Kachim, so the Rambam has an Arichos there, whether the Karban Pesach is defined. He's like, I'm not sure. Is it a Karban Yachid? Is it a Karban Tzibur? It's bailos, it's owned by the Yechidim, but it has to be brought together as a tzibur. So he's like, I'm not sure how to classify the Karban Pesach as elements of both. So Tosa Rosh over here is saying that with respect to Chatei Kedeshis Kechavercha, that's a mitzvah derabin. Okay.
But he didn't necessarily equate mitzvah derabin mitzvah
derabin. Right, he did not necessarily equate mitzvah derabin mitzvah derabin. So let's see over here. So what's this? Unless you say, like the Rashba said, that a mitzvah derabim is a mitzvah rabba by definition. Good. So what's the mitzvah rabba here? So let's skip to the sixth to last line in the Beis Yosef, Fahashta.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Does that resonate with you?
I wouldn't phrase it that way, but I would say the Hashmada is...
Yeah, Hashmada is very, very severe. Would it constitute a mitzvah rabbah? As a great mitzvah to prevent somebody from being mishtamed?
Well, I mean, if like the only example of mitzvah rabbah that I had was, let's say, like, Puravu, then I would say, like, no, only something that's like, ayadani tema halalam. But, like, once you have examples of, like, minyan and Karban Pesach anyway, if you're classing those mitzvah rabbah, then, like, I think it's
so you're fine with the looser definition of mitzvah rabbah. Could be. Okay. The imatirut de mechalik. Meaning, and if you want to take the last answer of Tosfos, that the only time you're not allowed to sin to help her is when there's negligence. Over here, what did this girl do? Right, she was staying at home. Now, what would follow, though, is if you take that suggestion of the Beis Yosef, is that if the girl was hanging out on the outskirts of the non-Jewish town, saying you're not allowed to save her on Shabbos because she was poshea. Okay, continue.
Yelkoch el chalala tashemat l'vakeach
Now, this is fascinating. I would have thought that the entire tshuva until now was dealing with the question of the Rashba, which is about Chil Shabbos Doraisa. The implication now is that now the Beis Yosef wakes up to the question of Chil Shabbos Doraisa, and until now he was only wondering about the way we paskin, that Tchum Shabbos is Drabanan, and the Shaila is whether you could violate Tchum Shabbos Drabanan to save the girl. And then he says, oh, Mitzvah Rabba. Then he says, Poshea. But once it turns into a question midoraisa about whether you could violate one of Lamatas Malachos, so then what consideration does he invoke?
Well, meaning it was later on, but the fact that it's
going to
be like
la'olam, it
shall be.
What does that mean?
I mean, that's probably referring to like the reason that we say
This last line here is very cryptic. V'afiyu l'chal Shabbos d'varm ha'asurim ha'natar nire, right? Here his confidence kind of wavers. Nire, d'shabir dami, d'l'gabi shalot t'shtami v'tavar kol yameha chilo Shabbos ha'minu nisura zutahave. Violating one Shabbos with respect to violating many Shabbosos is considered a nisur zuta. So here it's not even, it's like almost intentionally ambiguous. Which category is he invoking? Is he invoking the Gemara Numa Pikuach Nefesh of Chalal Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishmar Shabbos Harbe, which is what seems to be V'tavor Kol Yimei B'Chil Shabbos, or is he invoking the categories of Daf Dalid of Isser Rabba and Isser Zuta, which is his last line? It's actually not clear from the Tshuva of the Rashba. Is it the Chatei Kadesh Yishka Chavercha consideration, or is it a Pikuach Nefesh question? What was your impression?
They're intertwined.
But it can't be intertwined because Pikuach Nefesh is not related
to. So the question is this considered like Pikuach? Meaning, clearly it's not, we're not literally. It doesn't invoke like the, whatever, the reason, I forgot who said this, but like that we're actually dealing with actual Pikuach Nefesh because we're scared that she's going to, because he'd see Hari Bialya. Or he's not talking about that kind of Pikuach Nefesh. He's saying, is it like Pikuach Nefesh? I mean, do we consider like saving her soul, like saving her life? But it's obvious then that it's not going to be non Pikuach Nefesh that we'll say that once Pikuach Nefesh is totally okay. The question is, once you consider it like Pikuach Nefesh, then can we invoke this category of Chatei Kadesh Yizkah? But if it's not even like Pikuach Nefesh, meaning if it's not even important enough that it's like Pikuach Nefesh, then wouldn't be able to invoke
it. Hey, but couldn't I have invoked the rationale that Chilul Shabbos is an Isser Zuta relative to saving somebody from Shmad?
Yeah, but he'll say that you can only do that once you establish that saving someone from Shmad is a significant concern, the same way that Pikuach Nefesh is.
Right, so it seems that Shmad per se would not be considered Nisar Rabba relative to Chil Shabbos. The reason why this case is a Nisar Rabba or a Mitzar Rabba is because it involves future Chil Shabbos as well. Right?
Yeah, but so I don't see what you're saying by that.
I mean, my question is, would you say that Shmad itself is Nisar Rabba, is a Mitzar Rabba relative to Chil Shabbos? Or does he have to invoke some internal Shabbos consideration, projecting a future Chil Shabbos, in order to say that this Chil Shabbos is considered Nisar Zuta relative to saving her? That's in the Beis Yosef's objection to the Shudha Rashba. Now you can see the Beis Yosef factors this into the Shulchan Aruch, and it gets paskined in Simen Shin Vav Simen Yad Dalid. What does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? Jennifer, you want to read it? So this is so peculiar, because this is the Beis Yosef paskening his analysis and the Beis Yosef into Shulchan Aruch, correct? Now how does he choose to pasken it? Which case? Which scenario? His final note in the Beis Yosef, or his initial analysis? What are you violating? Yeah, why does he only paskin seemingly only his initial consideration that it's actually dealing with an Isser Drabanan? That's just a question of Chutz L'Shalosh Parsos. Unless Beis Yosef paskins Shalosh Parcellos is Doraisa? I don't know. I have to check that. But either way, why not just paskin the general consideration of Chil Shabbos? Why only paskin the question of Tchum Shabbos? Okay. Now, the Ramah, commenting a couple of simanim later in Simen Shin Chav Ches, right? Now notice, fine, yeah. And look at the parentheses in the Shulchan Aruch. V'ayin lekaman, Simen Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud. That's in the Shulchan Aruch. It's in the Shulchan Aruch, there's a citation to look a couple of simanim later on to Shin Chav Ches. Yeah.
Wait, he had a line, the third line,
V'yosef. L'man da'amar t'chum shalosh, but that's straight out of the Shadar Rashba, I think.
Oh, so he just
went to
be quoting
the
seems like not.
Yeah. Right. Well, but I think most Rishonim came out all the Rishonim Paskin Tchum Shabbos is Drabanan. The Raman Paskin's Tchum Shabbos is Daraisa. He's so stern. We saw this earlier. He's so stern himself between Sefer Mitzvos and Yad HaChazaka. We have to see how they have the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. We Paskin as Drabanan.
Doesn't he say Afu L'Chel Shabbat is very much Yom HaTorah? Isn't that assuming that's like that as opposed to?
That's later on.
Right, but isn't that like
yeah, it seems like he assumed the case until now was Drabanan.
Right, which is
weird. He quoted that part
correct.
And didn't say like
no, but by implication, when he says later on and afilu b'daraisa, it seems like the stuff like until now.
It's puzzling. He quotes that part of
the right. Well, he's quoting the tshuva verbatim. Doesn't right. I give you a da da da, but he has an adkan lashono, yeah, meaning this is the end of the tshuva. So, yeah. So from the Shulchan Aruch itself, it's a little vague. And Shulchan Aruch says, look later on in Shin Chav Ches. What do we have in Shin Chav Ches? It's not the Shulchan Aruch, it's the Rama. So what does the Rama say, Jeremy? Very good. And what's the Makar? Beis Yosef B'Shem HaRashba. Which is how the Rashba Paskin, right? But the Rashba Paskin, they're not allowed to save the girl. This is very peculiar. If the Rama disagreed with the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Vav, he should have been masig on Simen Shin Vav. Instead, all you have is in Simen Shin Chav Ches, you have this, also invoking the Beis Yosef B'Shem HaRashba, he says that you are not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. So, Miman of Shach. He seems to paskin the Rashba against the Beis Yosef, but yet he's not disagreeing in Simen Shin Vav with the Beis Yosef. Over there, he seems to accept the Psak. So that's what all the Achronim here are bothered by. This seeming contradiction in the Shulchan. Okay. So what's the first suggestion offered to reconcile the contradiction? So let's take a look at the Taz, or Chaim, Q. Simen Shin Vav Sifkan Hei.
Right. Kaman Simen Shin Chachat Simen Yud Pasak Vishvil Shirotzim Le'onsor She'avor Avira Gedola In Mechalalina Lava Shabbat Shkei Latzilo. V'ramakan
Ramak Kasav
V'ramakatav V'yasik V'yasiman Shin Chachat Sif Yud ויחורה סדרים על הדי, ופלוג דהו בבית יוסף, בין הרשב"א להתוספות. וצריך לומר דשני אחה, שרוצים להמירה, ותישאר במרד לעולם, אחר כך, בזה יכריע כהתוספות. יש להצילה בחילול שבת, וזה עדיף מביקוח נפש. מה שאין כן לכמון שיעשה פעם אחת באונס, כיוון דאונס רחמן הפטרי, ואחר כך אין חשש של יחר השבת בשביל ההצלה הזו, כנראה לי נכון.
What's his distinction?
In the case of onus,
is there a single distinction here in the Taz?
It's a little confusing.
A little confusing. Good.
Yeah.
What do you think his main distinction is?
The thing he starts with is that she's going to be a mumar le'olam.
Excellent. The first distinction seems to be between long-term and short-term.
Right.
If it's a question of long-term shmad, then?
You should save her.
On what grounds? What's the rationale? What's the mat here?
Chilul Shabbat in the future. He doesn't say. It's better than Pikuach Nefesh.
Better than Pikuach Nefesh. So here the Taz seems to be arguing contra Rachel, right? That this, saving this girl from Shemad, is even better than Pikuach Nefesh. Correct?
Yeah.
It's a very strong argument. Meaning, if someone's life will be Docha Shabbos, Kol Shekein someone's religious life. Right? This is a stronger justification than Pikuach Nefesh itself. But then, so that seems like a very, you know, this, you know, all the Rishonim quote from Rabbeinu Gershom, that when his son was taken to Shmad, so he sat Avelos, there's Noeg Shiva, when his son was taken and converted. So the question was he Noeg Avelos right when they took him to Shmad, or was he Noeg Avelos when his son died? And there's opposite connotations. Because if he was noig avelos when his son actually died, then it means you're noig avelos for Shumad. If he was Yoshev avelos when his son was taken to Shmad, that means that he treated Shmad as if they were actually killing his child. So a bit of ambiguity there. But the Taz seems to be making a similar argument. Good. In which case, this is not really a question of chatei kedei sheyizke chavercha. This is a case that there's a question of pikuach nefesh. Purely a question of pikuach nefesh. Why does it seem like he has a double distinction? Because how does he explain Shin Chav Ches?
Because in that case, it's Ones Rachmana Patre.
Excellent. Why does he have to invoke Ones Rachmana Patre? Yeah. Why not just say, Simin Shin Vav is long-term Shmad, Shin Chav Ches is short-term, one Avera, they're going to force him to do an Avera. Why does he have to invoke Ones Rachmana Patre? So the asymmetry is, what about a case where they're going to force you to violate Avodah Zarah for one Shabbos? Shaloba Anas. We're afraid that they're going to convince her to be Baal, not to be Baal, to be Mishtachavet to an Avodah Zarah. So what do you say then? There's no long-term concern. So it may not justify Pikuach Nefesh, but there's no Ptur Anas. That's not clear from the Taz, right?
Sounds like you need both.
Sounds like you need both. Meaning what? Pikuach Nefesh? Spiritual pikuach nefesh isn't sufficient. Why is it a kol shekein? Unless you would say
he's assuming the first case that we're dealing with the non-ones.
Right, but I'm saying let's say that the second, let's say shin chav ches was not ba'ones either.
Yeah, so we'd say that.
That's also pikuach nefesh for one mitzvah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's problematic. Ari, what do you think? Yeah. What do you think of the Taz?
I mean, sounds like he's making like the long term, short term. Like, there's the long term, short term.
And what do you do with the honest distinction? Unless he means that even long term bonus, that would solve the problem. That let's say both cases are bonus, but long-term ones is also pikuach nefesh. Short-term ones is not considered pikuach nefesh. Maybe that would solve the problem. No? This is a very interesting shaila. You have this in all the chuvos of the Maranos and the Rivash and the Tashbates. So these people were forced to convert to Christianity, let's say in 1391. Then they're living as Christians now. So their initial conversion was forced, but now they're living for four generations as Christians. So do you say the Ptur Anos carries over for 10 years, 12 years, whatever? Or do you say, no, the Ptur Anos was for the first couple months, and then afterwards, either they should have escaped, or they should have been Moser Nefesh HaKadosh Hashem. What do you say? Really?
Yeah.
She's talking about these chuvas?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the chuvas, the Tashbeis and the Rivash and the Yachin Boaz. They all talk about it. The Mari Beirav talks about it. So maybe the Taz here is assuming that even long term, even if you had, let's assume you had a Ptur Anos, it's still considered Pikuach Nefesh. I think that would work nicely.
I have a question. What case of Avodah Zarah could you have where it's Ones and you have no choice in, or I guess the better question is what's considered Ones? For example, because we know it's Yehareg Val Yavar.
Yeah, but even if it's Yehareg Val Yavar, it's Bing Machuz Rishonim. Yehareg Val Yavar is not necessarily a Hafka of Ptur Anos.
But what's...
Meaning, you have an obligation to die.
Right.
But if you don't kill yourself, or you don't die, so it doesn't mean that you violated Avodah Zarah Biratzon.
Okay.
You violated a bonus. It's a separate halacha that you have to die al Kedosh Hashem.
But that's considered, if your life is threatened, that's considered onus?
Yeah. Probably something puts a gun to your head.
Okay.
Fine. The Bach kind of distills this distinction of the Taz. What does he have? What does the Bach have? In Simon Shinvav. The Nir Lafian Ayas Daiti. Are you want to read it?
Yeah.
You could skip smack, and the second word on the line is Vinira. Seventh line in the Bach.
Vinira Lafian Ayas Daiti, La Liashev Techoshin, Sheyefkiduha, Lahamer, Tehi Lop Sha'a, Matar Lachala Shaba, Kadela Tila, Me Avon Avodazara. The mitzvah rabba shani
Good. So what's his chiluk? What's the difference between shin chaf ches and shin vav? And look back at the Shulchan Aruch just to see if that's a plausible distinction. Is that? Does that fit the language of the Shulchan Aruch? What's the distinction
between anus and
between anus and non-anus? Look back at Shulchan Aruch's shin vav. First case is a concern that they're going to take the daughter away from the Jewish community. The assumption is that over time, they'll persuade her to be mishtamed. But there's no coercion. The Shulchan Aruch in Shin Chav Ches says, Mi sherotzim la'onso sheyavar avera gedola. They're going to force you to violate an avera. So the Bach thinks that the only consideration here is a consideration of anus versus not anus. Anus does not have a ma'isa avera. There's no iser because you're forced. Anus achmana patre. So Mela, there's no rationale, there's no justification to save her. When there's no anus, so then there is a ma'isa avera, and then the mitzvah of chatei kedei sheyizkeh chavercha kicks in, and then you're allowed to save her. Fine. That's the Bach. He just takes the consideration of anus. What about the Magen Avraham? How does the Magen Avraham learn the case?
Where does he say this?
So first of all, he objects to the chiluk of the Bach. Why? Habach Kasav, fourth line, at the end of the line, Jeremy. Habach Kasav.
Habach Kasav.
End of the line. The Hachamayri Kishachoshin.
This Magen Avraham.
Yeah, at the end of the line, fourth line, Habach.
Habach Kasav, the Hachamayri Kishachoshin, she Yafidhu, Shetamer. Vahasamayri Kisharotzim Wanta. Veinze Avera Kokata Onis.
Okay, skip to the next line. Vlo Nehira.
Vlo Nehira Kamash Kasav.
Right. If anything, the contrary is too.
Right.
Is true. The more that it's anus,
the more that you should.
Yeah. The more you have an obligation to save the person because they're helpless. The more the girl herself, on her own volition, is going to accept this other religion or be mishtamed, so then you have less of an obligation to save her. Meaning, the more she's autonomous, so the less of an obligation you have to her. The more she's forced. Did I say that backwards? The more she's autonomous, the less an obligation you have. The more she's acting under coercion, the more of an obligation you have to save her. So the Bach would just go further. The Bach would go ahead and say, it's not a question of your obligation towards her. I mean, look, the Bach and the Magen Avraham are looking at this question from different perspectives. How so? Excellent. The Bach wants to know, is there a Maisa Vera here? And honest, there's no Maisa Vera. The Magen Avraham was looking at it from what perspective?
Your obligation toward...
The perspective of the beings involved. Your obligation towards this person. It's a bit of a chef de gavra dichotomy. Is there a maisa avera? Is there a person who's... Is there a person who deserves to be saved? So the Magen Avraham himself offers some other distinction. What does he actually say? He actually invokes Chal Shabbos Achas Kedesh Yishmar Shabbos Azharbe, meaning that it's pure. It seems to be meaning to have it. Well, let's Jeremy read on in the Magen Avraham.
Well, on Idul Ahad I'm reading B'ktuvot Ayin Sham V'Hadavar Baruch Mashkatafti V'Gadza Ita B'Hedjet D'Hacha Ayri Gamkim Ba'Onei Sumiyo Ima Basik Tana Tzarech Ezra.
Very fascinating question. Let's say this girl is a katana. So what do we say generally? We saw this a little bit, the Gemara Nivamos, that katan in bezim mitzvah hafrisha. Right? You're not obligated to stop a katan from doing averos. We looked at this a little bit because the Rush invokes it when on Daf Gimel when he talks about lifnei iver. So you don't have an obligation to stop a katan from doing an avera. Good. So this katana is doing an avera now. You have no chiyuv to save her. here, which perspective is the Magen Avraham looking at the case from?
The Bach.
What?
Like the Bach, like the Maisa Avera.
You think it's a Maisa Avera question? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Why do you think Maisa Avera?
Because that's the difference between Ketanim and Gedolim.
It could be, but I might say that there is a Maisa Avera for a Katan.
Oh, but it's been an Alahafresh.
Right, you may not have that obligation to stop a Katan from doing an Avera. I mean, the question is not about the metaphysics of an Avera Shel Katan. The question may be about the obligation of a Gadol to stop a Katan from doing an Avera. And if there's no obligation, meaning there's no interpersonal obligation, so then you can invoke Chate. So if you want to say the Magen Avraham is working within his own framework, where he's concerned about the responsibility of the persons, then you would say that Katan may have an Avera, but there's no obligation of the Gadol to stop him.
I was just saying, meaning if I wasn't trying to make the Magen Avraham consistent with himself, then I would say that Jeremy just read of the Katan piece is more plausible.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, because I mean, if we're focusing on the culpability of the victim, why would a Katan be any different? Meaning,
well, because say Katan's not responsible for his Chatayim, so since the Katan's not responsible, so Gadol's is not responsible to save him.
What?
It would be Onus would assume there's no Maisa Avera. Let's assume. It's not. Let's say onus is not an issue of responsibility. It's just that there is no avera in that case.
So I guess the question of you're assuming that you're saving them from that when you're talking about the culpability, you're talking about saving them from an onus, right? It's a question of are you saving them from the onus or from the
avera.
From the avera itself. If it's an avera itself, then there would be no even if a cousin doesn't get an onus, she's still doing an avera.
Right, 100%. So I might say there is an Avera.
So you'd have to just say, oh, okay, fine, there's no onus there. So
no, but I would say sharper. I would say that the Torah never obligates me to get involved in the affairs of Ketanim.
But then that's really veering more towards the Maisa Avera.
Why? Let's assume there is a Maisa Avera. Because the Torah doesn't hold... let's assume it's a purely pragmatic concern. The Torah can't make me responsible for all the Averas that my daughter does.
Okay, I mean, just when we read the distinction originally between Magen Avraham and Bach, I thought more when you're talking about Onus and Pshia, so it makes more sense to say, we're talking about, the culpability of the victim, right? Meaning, if the victim is...
Don't talk about culpability, talk about responsibility. Yeah, maybe the same thing.
Responsibility of the savior, you're saying.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, meaning...
So I said when you're talking
when
about
you do something that's negligent, I don't have responsibility to save you.
Right, so I guess it's the question of do you focus on the victim or on the saver? So if you focus on a victim, then there should be no difference in the Katan case, because even if there's no, right, because there's something different, right, if you think that there isn't a Vera, then there's no difference between what the Katan's doing and what the Gadol's doing, except for the fact that there's an Onus and one non-Gadol.
Oh, and it may just be a practicality. The Torah doesn't obligate me. The
okay,
Torah
so
obligates me to
so
save
So you're focusing on when you talk about the Daver, you're focusing on the person
the
saver,
right.
Not on the Savee.
100%.
Okay, fine.
Right.
Because I thought originally when you were saying the Chesed Gavra thing, you were talking about the Chesed Gavra, the Gavra of the...
No, but it means my obligation towards you, as opposed to my obligation to knock out Averos, or
right.
Prevent Averos from happening.
Fine.
That's what I was
saying. Yeah, fine.
It happens to be that the performance of an Avera also assumes certain things about the way the Avera is performed. I'll come back to that question in a minute. Okay, fine. That's the Magen Avraham. So, do you say that you have no responsibility, or do you say the Chalel Shabbos Achas Kedei Shishmar Shabbos Tavon? Save the girl now for what's going to happen later. Good. The Levush has a very interesting suggestion over here, and I want to know what you think of the Levush. Very fascinating Levush. I think I made a mistake. I think I called the Levush Mordechai. I think his name is Levush Malchus.
His name was Mordechai.
I know, his name is Mordechai Yaffa. He's very early. He's 16th to 17th century. Right, he kind of wrote a very early parish on the Shulchan Aruch. He wrote an old Shulchan Aruch. There's another sefer called Levush Mordechai. It's not Chornisha sefer. By Ramosh Mordechai Epstein. He's one of the yeshivas in, I think, Hebron. Hebron Yeshiva. He had a similar name. But I think he's Levush Malchus. I realized that afterwards. So what does he say? Levush Malchus. Sure, since you volunteered, go for it. I was saying collectively, take a look at it. What does he say?
Do you want me to tell you or read it?
I don't know, whatever you.
Tell me what he says. So he says that the case of Shin Vav, let's say, is Yahari Vial Yavor. He says the reason that we say there to save her is because it's Yahari Vial Yavor, and we're scared that she's not going to. It's literally a Pikuach Nevesh case because she's going to die.
Right.
So that's why you can save her.
Gone is the talk of spiritual or halachic Pikuach Nevesh, right? I mean, we're not worried that this is such an egregious aveira that it's dome or more chomer than pikuach nefesh. He wants to translate this into terms of actual pikuach nefesh, right? So then Shin Vav is going to be a case of
Yehar
Gval Yavar. So it's either a case of Vazara Gilei Raya Shvichas Domim or Shas Hashmad or Parhesia or something like that. Okay. And Shin Chav Ches is a case. So what's important here is that it's not about the severity of that avera at all. For example, getting back to Q's point, let's say there is a ptur anos for cases of Yehar Gval Yavor, and you don't get punished for violating avodah zarah in a case where you should have been killed. So let's assume that this could be done by anos. Right, so let's say Shin Vav is a case of ba'anos, Shin Chav Ches is a case of ratzon. According to the Levush Malchus, it doesn't matter. Because it's not about the chumras avera, it's not about how severe the avera is. It's a technical consideration of Yehar Gval Yavor. So you might have an avera that's an avera kala, warranting chil Shabbos and chatei kedishis kechavercha, even though an avera chamura and simin shin chav ches won't warrant it. Because here it's pikuach nefesh. Now, do you find this convincing?
Wait, we're talking about an avera kala that's Yehar Gval Yavor.
Let's assume that an avera chamura ba'anos is an avera kala. So someone's forced to violate avodah zarah under coercion. So they're not going to be punished. It's a separate thing. The Torah tells you should be makadosh shem shemayim by sacrificing your life.
This is about whether we think that person will actually
yeah.
be killed instead, or
correct.
Whether we think that they will just stay honest and go.
Right. Okay. Now the mitzvah is to die al kadosh Hashem.
Okay.
So we're concerned that they'll do it. Or, for example, I'll give you a better case. According to the Chachmei Ashkenaz, according to Vayi Tosfos, you could voluntarily give up your life al kadosh Hashem. Any mitzvah. Somebody puts a gun to your head and says, don't put on tefillin or I'll kill you. Right? Case on Shabbos. Comes up on Daf Mem Ches or something like that. So the Ramban actually and Tosfos there have a daya that you could say, yeah, I'm going to do Moser Nefesh. You put on the tefillin, they'll kill you and you're going to go straight to Gan Eden. Something like that. Because you could voluntarily, it depends how you read. You hurry. Call Shar Mitzvah, the Gemara Sanhedrin says in Ayin Zayin maybe, Ayin Chet. So the Gemara over there says that I'll call Mitzvah Sekulan Yavor Va'al Yeharig Ayin Dalet. Okay, somewhere in that spectrum. So does Yavor Al Yeharig mean you have the Rishus to Yavor Al Yeharig, or is it Tzivoy? That you have no choice and you're not allowed to kill yourself. So Ram says you're not allowed to. The Chachmi, the Ba'i Tos say you're allowed to. So you might say it's a mitzvah kala or whatever, but if you're afraid the person's going to give up their life on Shabbos, so then it would trigger the din of chatekedi shizke chaverech, and you're allowed to be machal Shabbos just to save them from, you know, giving up their life in the case of tefillin.
I don't know if that person's going to give
their life. Then
you don't. So it's a suffix. And he's assuming that a suffix is sufficient.
Work.
Or you assume that most people are going to follow the din. Okay, so let's say it's a shas hashmad. During a shas hashmad, the din is any even arkas of the mesana. So you're worried they're going to tell him to tie his shoelaces the wrong way, right? So then you have to be mechal Shabbos. So the action that he's doing seems to be an avera kala.
Right, but then where would that be? When would that be an onus case, right? If we're assuming that every person is going to do shikari v'al yavor, then what? Like when does shin chav ches even apply?
Okay, so there might be. No, my point is that. Right.
No, but if it's Shabbos Shmad, then everything's be hairy right?
But that avera that you're violating is still a light avera. My point is that your hairy vali yavar doesn't necessarily reflect on the severity of the transgression. They're just two separate dinim.
Right. Okay. No, but actually, that makes sense. You're saying it's a practical concern that you're going to die, and if Shabbos Shmad, you're going to die forever. Like, if we save you when we think that you're going to die, and the reason that we save you in Shin Vav is because we think we're going to die because we're dealing with the Avodah Zarah. And in Shin Chav Ches, we should also save you because we think we're going to die because it's Shas Hashmad.
No, so Shin Chav Ches then would be a case where it's not a Shas Hashmad.
Right, but when would it ever be Ones? But like, I don't
know. Oh, yeah, no, they just.
Yeah, that happens. I mean, it has the marks on hundreds. If any kid's onus has to be shot, then there's a mutual thing.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, if you're deciding whether you're safe or not, like, you have to assume whether that person's gonna just, like, unless you know.
Right, you have to assume, project about the person. Do you assume that person's gonna give up their life? Right?
Okay, so either it's an.
According to
the
Levush.
The big three, right? Sorry to be fixated on this.
That's all
right. For the three things that Yehari Baal Yavor, right? Those, can we assume those are not Avir Kala things?
You could assume it. It may not be correct.
Okay, fine. If we assume those are not Avir Kala, then the only time an Avir Kala would be like what we're talking about is during Shabbat Shabbat.
Well, let's assume these are Avir Kala then.
Fine. So then fine.
That would answer your question.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Let's assume that any time Avodah Zarah is performed in a gunpoint, it is considered anus, like Hugh's point. Which would knock it down significantly.
Okay.
There's a separate thing, the Efi Moser Nefesh. So then you would say the transgression is not so severe because it's coercion. But nonetheless, we're worried about the Pikuach Nefesh aspect. That would be the case. Okay? So, what do you think of this Lelush? Convincing or not convincing?
First of all, it's not so clear that the Bach said that Chenfachet is even in the Avodah Zarah case.
Okay, so it just doesn't read well into the Shulchan Aruch, you're saying. Because how do you know that Hotzi Bito Michlal Yisrael, that's all it's only talking about Dafka, Yehar, you know, Gilirash, Vichastamim, Shasa Shmad.
And assumes Christianity is already good.
Assuming. But he doesn't say that they're going to convert to Christianity. He should just say
Hotzi
Michlal Yisrael.
He's living in, like, Spain, right?
The Beis Yosef, he's living in
Tzfat.
No,
it's the Rashba's case.
He's living in Spain. Alright. We don't know where the Shiloh came from. Maybe the Shiloh came from south, from the Islamic land.
Yeah, sure.
So it would depend whether the whole Islam is Avodah Zarah. That's a Shiloh. The Ritva Mpsachim says that he thinks it's Avodah Zarah. Because they are co-friend of West Moshe, so it's also Yehari Baal Yavor. So, why would you challenge this Lavush? Is there something problematic? I guess so. Rachel's pointing out it may not be so conciliatory with the language of the Shulchan Aruch, but I'm interested in the legal principle here.
I mean, he ignores that all the other distinctions in Tosfot of Mitzvah, etc.
Okay, but on his own merits here.
If you say Yehari Baal Yavor is a mitzvah, if you say you're allowed to die for anything, is it a mitzvah you're doing, or you're just allowed to?
Say that's almost the big three. It's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. In Hekdash Di B'soch B'nei Yisrael. Alright, what do you think? If you're not pondering the difference between the avocado sushi and the sushi.
I'm still gonna have to pass, even though that's not what I'm thinking.
Fair enough.
Does he think if you are gonna be over, if you think the person is gonna be over instead of dying, then you should save them?
You should not save them.
You
can't save him. Because no justification. The only justification is Pikuach Nefesh. It should only be Pikuach Nefesh if he's actually gonna get killed. The only thing that warrants the Chil Shabbos here is if he actually dies. Or you're worthy he's gonna die.
This doesn't
disturb any of you.
It just doesn't seem right.
Why?
You know, a lot of the distinctions you've been making. The whole thing about Kidei Shizkeh Chaverecha has nothing to do with, you know, Sfegdim Hashem. It has to do with what, I don't know, I haven't seen explicitly in so many places, but like that there's a responsibility towards a greater collective, like mitzvot and averot. And that's something I'm seeing, that you do this small avera so that B'nai Yisrael is prevented from doing many avera in the future. And it doesn't have to do with
let's say he's talking about Pikuach Nefesh.
Wait.
So you're worried that he's stepping out of Chatei. Okay, but he's invoking Pikuach Nefesh. He's not bound to work within the, you know, so the Rashba said he thinks it's Talian Chatei. And he's saying, no, I think it's time to Pikuach Nefesh. It's fine with me.
It seems weird that,
that
you're able to assume whether or not he's going to...
Hey, how do you project? How do you
that he's not going to...
Well, I assume the mitzvah is that he is yihari v'yavar. He's supposed to be killed.
Right, so that's why you should save it. But right. Even in the converse case, you should... You shouldn't... if you think that... If this is a person that's not, you know, an Amaris or something, you should still...
Still save him?
Save him.
Why? It's not because of nefesh. There's no basis to save him. Achel, what are you going to say?
No, it's not really real. I was just going to say it distills... It's not this stupid. I was going to say it distills the severity of Yahari Yahyavor. Now we're saying, oh, actually... But that's silly, because... That's the point of that, yeah.
Okay, so I'll just make the following objection. What's the basis of Yihari V'Yavor? Why is it true only for these three Averos, not for any other? What does the Gemara say? Because for all the other mitzvahs, you have a principle called Chai Behem V'lo Shiyamus Behem. When it comes to these three Averos, what you have is the suspension of the Chai Behem V'lo Shiyamus Behem. Meaning that principle of the Chai Behem is relevant to 610 mitzvahs. It's not relevant to these three. So now, what's the basis of the Heter Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos? At least according to one day in the Gemara in Yuma. V'chai behem. V'chai behem v'lo shiyamus behem. So of course, you just like Yavar v'yaharig for any other mitzvah, so too for Shabbos. Pikuach Nefesh v'docha Shabbos. V'chai behem v'lo shiyamus behem. Aye, what's going to happen now when there is no v'chai behem for a certain mitzvah? The whole point is that there's no v'chai behem for Gilei Rayos, Shvichas Damim, or Avodah Zarah. So now you're going to invoke V'chai Behem as your obligation to save this Jew who's going to die, Al-Kiddush Hashem, Yehar Gval Yavar? It's internally self-defeating. The whole point is that there's no V'chai Behem. So how could there be a basis of V'chai Behem, L'chil Shabbos, or Pikuach Nefesh?
Future V'chai Behem.
What?
It's future V'chai Behem. Right? Like, this is what someone said about...
But clearly that's not sufficient for Avodah Zarah in general. Right?
You're making a distinction between the Yahari V'Yavar for the person involved, and the fact that because of the consequence of we have this principle of the Yahari V'Yavar. That means that when I'm the one faced with the choice, I have to die. But then he's making a distinction between that and the fact that the result of me dying means that now we have Pikuach Nefesh at stake, and now for someone else.
But the whole point is that Pikuach Nefesh isn't relevant for something as chomer as the Avodah Zarah. That's why V'Chai Behem doesn't apply.
Right, so, no, but that's what he's saying. Pikuach Nefesh isn't relevant for me, but now once, so I can never do anything to, meaning when I have a gun to my head saying, do a Avodah Zarah, I can't do anything about it. But once, now, because since I'm making the decision to die, now for someone else, now V'chai Behem applies to them to save me, as if it's the same way that they have an obligation of V'chai Behem to save anybody else that was dying on Shabbos.
Right, but the reason why you're supposed to save a regular Jew who's sick on Shabbos is because Shabbos can't be the cause of your dying. V'chai behem v'lo shiyamus behem. Right? That's the rationale. Shabbos is not made to kill you.
Right, so for him, he doesn't, it's not relevant. But now that I'm dying is because of a Zarah.
Why not? You would think that's very relevant.
It's the same way that, it's not, why would it be relevant? It's the same way that, like, if you saw a gun pointed at someone's head, it doesn't, like, if that person's going to die, it doesn't matter what the cause of them dying is, whether it's a halachic thing that's going to cause them to die, or, like, just a gun being pointed at their head. The fact is
that's a chiddush, and I would say the Lavush has to be assuming something like that. That you get around it by this trick that when it comes to the Hatsala of Chavero, so then we kind of disregard the reason why his life is at stake. When it comes to him vis-a-vis himself, so then we say, oh, of course V'chai Behem doesn't apply to Avodah Zarah. I would have countered and said, no, the whole basis of Pikuach Nefesh is V'chai Behem. If V'chai Behem is not relevant precisely because Avodah Zarah G'dirai Shvichas Dam is the cause of his Pikuach Nefesh, then it wouldn't warrant Chil Shabbos from the second Yisrael either.
I'm not so familiar with the sources, but I would say the same thing. But I think you even see
the same thing as Mir, same thing as Rachel.
Same thing as Rachel. That in the when you're talking about your own individual chiyuv, obviously V'chai Behem doesn't apply, and so Yehareg V'al Yavar. But I, Pikuach Nefesh, I don't know the exact source, but yeah, there's a principle of Otam Adam and Echad, which seems to be encompass everything.
Yeah, but not for a Torah imposed obligation. I mean, let's say you're dying precisely because, like, you wouldn't say that to Onshe Misas Bezdin. Bezdin's about to execute somebody, and you're standing on the side like, oh, I have an obligation, I have to intervene, Bezdin can't kill him. Right? You wouldn't say that. So I'd say, Hu Adin, if the Torah obligates you to die in a certain circumstance, then the din of Losam Adam Riacha doesn't apply, and so to the din of Hatzalas Chavero, of Pikuach Nefesh wouldn't apply.
That's what
I would have thought.
Are you saying then that you can't kill the person who's about to kill your friend because that's killing, even though...
No, so then you have a separate din of Rodef, that since a Rodef is Matir Atzmo Misa, so he already forfeits his life. That's a separate halacha. I'm saying that if it's the halacha that's obligating him to die, then there shouldn't be a Heter Pikuach Nefesh L'Inyan Chilul Shabbos. That would be my objection to the Lomash. Okay, that's the issue in the Shulchan Aruch. So I want to... Okay. Yeah.
I can't remember who said it. It might have just been Rachel, but that verse, if we're
not just, might have been Rachel.
It might have been Rachel, just into wiseness. That bringing Shabbat is that no, that Shmad is equivalent to like, or is on the same level as something like Rishot. Then would we say the same thing for that, or that this is only talking because we're talking about. Never mind. This is only talking about Yavor. Fine, but it doesn't relate to anything else.
Right, because it's a chashash that you yourself will die in this circumstance. Okay. I want to step back now for a minute and just raise a broader question that I wanted to follow up with from last week. And that is the question of Chateket Ishizke Chavercha, not under what circumstances, but what is the Mechayiv here? What's the basis? So I just want to propose two general models. One possible model is the model of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zavazah. The notion that you have an obligation to a fellow Jew. Now we know that Kol Yisrael Arevim Zavazah is a bona fide halachic principle. It comes up in the Gemara in Sanhedrin in two places, Gemara in Chav Zayin, the Kishlo Yishba Bon Achiv, that you are caught somehow on your friend's chatayim. It comes up as well in the Gemara later on in Sanhedrin, Hanestar Sla Hashem Elokeinu V'Aniglo Slanu V'Aninu Ad Olam. Machlokes, whether or not your chayiv, what everyone agrees you're chayiv for chatayim shel chavero. The question is to what degree. According to one day, you're chayiv even on nistaros, even on aveira b'seser, which you had no idea about, you're chayiv, you're obligated upon. And the other day is that you're chayiv ala niglos. Right? And there may be a difference between when you come into Eretz Yisrael, before Bnei Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, and after. Then in Eretz Yisrael, you might even be chayiv ala nistaros. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Tes invokes, you see the Gemara there? Yatza Motzi.
Yeah.
That Kol Yisrael Arevim Zavazah, at least according to a Rashi and the Ritva Rita Gemara, is the basis for your ability to motzi another Jew in his Birchos HaMitzvah. Okay? I mean, that's based on Kol Yisrael Arevim Zavazah. Now, how it works into the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah is a bit of a discussion. Is it that you are not fully defined as being yotze yidei chovascha in your mitzvah until the people around you have been yotze their mitzvah? That's yotze. So yotze motzi is an illusion because you haven't fully been yotze because they haven't been yotze. Therefore, you could still be motzi them. Or do you say the whole concept of kol yisrael arevim ze bezeh is such that even though you are yotze your chiyuv, nonetheless you have this ability to be motzi another Jew in their chiyuv? Okay. One of them assumes that there's an antecedent chiyuv klape another Jew. The other one assumes that there's some sort of antecedent relationship to another Jew, such that you could still be motzi them. Okay, meaning, you could either translate kol yisrael arevim ze bezeh into a chiyuv, or you could assume that the chiyuv reflects some sort of antecedent relationship between kol b'nei yisrael. And we'll see that play itself out in our sugya. You could see it there in the Gemara a little bit. The way the Ritva characterizes that Gemara is Kol Yisrael ke guf echad heim. That's the basis for Yatza Mosi. Meaning, these dinim are just reflections of some antecedent reality. So one might say that the whole question of Chatei Kedei Sheizke Chavercha is premised on this notion that you're an Arev for your fellow Jew. Now, even that could be phrased in different ways. In its strongest formulation, what you mean is, like the Gemara has in Shabbos and Daf Nun Daled to Daf Nun Hey, that you're nitfas ba'avon chavero. If your friend does an avera and you could have prevented him from doing it, then it's considered as if you're a partner. You actually are nitfas. You have some sort of chilek in the ma'is avera that he had. In a weaker formulation, what it means is simply that if you had the ability to stop your friend from doing an avera and you didn't, then you violate this mitzvah called arvos. Okay, that's a weaker way of formulating of arvos. Never that you would now be chayev for his avera, but simply that you're chayev for violating your obligation to prevent him from doing his avera. Okay, I mean, you're treating it as a narrow din. Third way of understanding arvos, and this is the more complicated way, is to explain it as an obligation. It's not a mitzvah. It's not an obligation. But once again, it reflects some sort of antecedent reality such that you may have an obligation to save your friend, even if the concern is not about violating either the avera that he's violating or violating your obligation of arvos. Is that clear?
No. What is this antecedent reality?
Okay. Got it. One could say, very nice, very simply, that arvos is a mitzvah. Correct? One might say that arvos is a way of holding you responsible for his averos.
Yes.
Right? One might say that arvos is simply what gives me responsibility towards him. Okay, such that there are times where my maisa mitzvah could count for him, and such that there are times where I'll have an obligation to save him from what he's doing. But the point is that the concern is not about my narrow violation of arvos. Arvos is simply what either allows me to do an avera to save him, or what kind of triggers my achrayus towards him. Okay? Meaning very similar to the question, what gives you an obligation to do mitzvahs for yourself? Right? Why are you obligated to do mitzvahs? That's not really a question. The point is that you assume that there's some sort of autonomy, and therefore you have this achrayus klal for yourself. So kol yisrael arvim zeh bazeh might just be a way of obligating you to do things for your chaver. Okay? Regardless of whether you're violating an aver of arvos in that circumstance. Okay? So let me, if you want an analogy, I would say that, let's say Kaisa Ibn Zebazet works in a kind of ase doche ase, or ase doche los ase kind of thing. But that assumes that there's some sort of relationship between the mitzvah and the aver that's happening. So how is that? How's that forged? So there you'd have to invoke Kol Yisrael Arvim Zeh Bazeh. You understand? What allows me to violate an avera in order to save him is the concept that there is this notion of Kol Yisrael Arvim Zeh Bazeh. You look perplexed. Somewhat perplexed.
Wait, why would the Asay be Dochol Otasa? What does that have anything to do with being a trigger of Acharas as opposed to you actually being?
Because what it assumes is that you have an Asay, you have a Los Asay. And when they come into conflict, right? So one of them could justify the suspension of the other,
right?
Right. So why? Because there's some sort of combination between the mitzvah ase and the los ase, right?
Mm-hmm.
What allows me to do an avera to save you from doing a greater avera? Because it assumes some sort of antecedent responsibility that I have for you, regardless of whether that's a mitzvah or not a mitzvah. That's one way of looking at Kol Yisrael Arvim Zeh Bazeh, of looking at Chatei. The other way of looking at Chatei is not to focus on the people involved, but to focus on the actual averos. And here I'll just borrow the model of the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva, Perkei Malacha Aleph. The Rambam talks about an olam that's 50-50, an olam that's malei zechuyos, so that's going to be an olam zakai, an olam that's malei avonos is going to be an olam that's condemned to destruction, or to be destroyed. When it's 50-50, so then it gets tricky. And the Rambam says you should always view the Olam as if it's 50-50. That's like the perspective you're supposed to have. So one might say that the notion of Chatei Kedei Shizkei Chavercha is not about an obligation klape another Jew, but it's simply an obligation klape the objective existence of averos or mitzvos. Okay? It's not a person-oriented obligation. So let me just give a couple of nafkamina. Let's say you have people who are not included in the mitzvah of arvos. Right? Let's say Kol Yisrael Arvim Zeh Bazeh doesn't apply to certain people. So if you saw the Rush in Brachos and Daf Chaf in the base, right? So the Rush has a suggestion that women are not included in Arvos. Right? That's what he wants to explain the Birchas HaMazon issue. So the Ksav Sofer in Evan Ezer Siman Aleph, so he wants to suggest that, he's trying to explain the Gemara in Gin. So he wants to explain that maybe this din of Chatei Kedei Shizkei Chavercha doesn't apply to women. That's the Ksav Sofer's suggestion. Why? Assuming the Machai of Chatei Kedei Shizkei Chavercha is about Arvos, and he's assuming, like the Rush, that Arvos wouldn't apply to women.
Ktav.
What? Well, Maskana, the Rush does say that they are included in Arvos.
Oh.
He's assuming, though, that maybe there are other people out there who would hold or not. Rashi has a Deya in Nida, in Dafid Gimel, that Gerim are not included in Arvos either. That's the notion of Kashin Gerim Kisapachas. Right? Some people suggest that Kashim Gerim Kisapachas because we don't want Bnei Yisrael to be chayiv for the Averos of Gerim. So Rashi said that can't be because Kol Yisrael Arivim Zebuzet doesn't apply to Gerim. Similarly, the Radvaz has a tshuva. What about Mamrim? What about someone who intentionally violates Averos? So he suggests that Mamrim don't have an obligation. There's no obligation of Arvos Klapei Amumar. But otherwise, everyone would be in trouble. We saw something similar in Nodav Yehuda. Nodav Yehuda held there's no mitzvah, there's no Isra of Lufin Evil Sitei Michshol when it comes to somebody who's a self-professed Avarian. So what would emerge is, if you think the Mechayiv here is Midin Arvos, then you say any person who's not included in Arvos, either Nashim, Gerim, or Mamrim, depending on a different deos, so then you would say that the Chatei Kedei Shizkei Chavercha wouldn't apply. If you think the model is like the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva, then clearly Chatei would apply. Because it's never about your obligation to klape the Gavra. It's about your obligation to block certain Averos from happening. Similarly, what about a case of lavar al isr chamor? You're going to violate a strong isr to save somebody from to achieve seemingly a mitzvah kala. So, for example, let's take the deus nishonim that there is no mitzvah of minyan. I don't know if you saw the Rambam's formulation in Parak Chas of Hilchos Tefillah and the Emek Bracha's argument in Hilchos Kriya Shema. The Emek Bracha didn't see the Rambam in Hilchos Avadim. Rambam in Hilchos Avadim explicitly says that there's a mitzvah drabbanon of tefillah b'tzibor. But the Emek Bracha just had the Rambam, I guess he just saw the Rambam in Parak Ches of Hilchos Tefillah, where the Rambam says that it's a big schus to daven b'tzibor because your tefillah is going to be answered, but he never said anything about a mitzvah. So the Emek Bracha said there's no mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibor. So how could it justify shichur eved mitzvah rabba? The answer is that it has nothing to do with the potency of the mitzvah. It justifies chatei kedei sheyizke, even though there's no key in mitzvah that's being accomplished. So if you think that's the case, then clearly it has to stem from a chiv arvos. You have an obligation klape these other Jews to make a minyan, or to help them with their chovas, the caliber of their tefillah. But if it doesn't translate into a mitzvah, it doesn't translate into a mitzvah. So therefore, it would only be an obligation of arvos to the fellow Jews, never about the balancing of the zechuyos versus the averos. Another important nafkamina would be the Ramban's case of a chatas. Right, the case of a chatas assumes that there is no ma'is avera. Right, so Ramban said once there's no ma'is avera, all there is the chiv chatas. So Ramban said then you're not going to be able to be matzil him. So the question is, do the Balei Tosfos disagree with that perspective of the Ramban? I mean, do the Balei Tosfos argue on the Ramban's interpretation of chatas, or would they say that even if there is no ma'is avera in case of a chayav chatas, nonetheless there's still an obligation of arvos? Because one might say that even if there's no mitzvah or avera that's accomplished, so you're still being mezakehim. You might have a chiv arvus towards your friend, even just to prevent him from being chayiv achatas. Even assuming there's no ma'is avera being involved. Another nafkamina is the case in Erevin, that Tosfos already quoted. Chod chin yabela shel chavero kohen. We know there's no mitzvah for a baal mum to go ahead and do avoda. What's the mitzvah? It's a baal mum. So you might say that there's a chiv arvus towards a Kohen, maybe that you could help him out now to be over in the Mikdash, even though there's no mitzvah. There's no need for it. If it's about the obligation towards the mitzvah or the Aver, it's nonsensical. If it's about your obligation towards the Kohen to mizakeh him, then it does make sense. You might have cases where you have an artificially created arvos. So here's the Ramban's case of Kohanim Shluchei Didan. Right, because the Kohen is our Shliach, so therefore he's able to violate the Aseh of Hashlama, even though right, he's going to violate the Aseh of Hashlama so that the, he's Chatei, so that the Yisrael could be Zoche and bring his Karban Pesach Bizmano. So here it seems that there's an imposed arvus to the Torah. Right? The Torah stipulates that the Kohanim are responsible towards the Yisraelim. So Mele, he has to go ahead and be Chatei Kedei Shiyizke Chaver. So those are just, I think, some good nafkamim. The Avni Nezer in Yaradeya Simen Tesvav in his Chuvos. So Avni Nezer writes that the reason he's explaining Tosa's justification of Poshea. Why is Poshea the determining factor for Chatei Kedei Shiyizke or not? So he says, in a case of Poshea, you sacrifice your right to Arvos. Unless somebody does something stupid. So he's also assuming that the Mechayev here is a kind of Arvos. Similarly, the simplest understanding of Al Yado is that it's also an artificial Arvos. When I cause you to do something, so now I'm responsible. That's the simplest interpretation. The Meiri and Tosfos Rush, which we saw, try to turn it into a question of your Ma'aseh Avera. But the simplest interpretation is that when you cause something, so then you have a certain artificial Arvos that wasn't there previously. That's one issue. The second issue is, are you really Zoche Ba'atzmo, or are you dealing with a kind of Zoche Ba'ad Chavero? This is what I alluded to last time. I mean, you could try to disguise all talk of Chatei Kedei Shiyizke Chavercha into talk of Chatei Kedei Shiyizke Ata Ba'atzmacha. So just to give you an example, the Maratz Chayos in the back of the Gemara, in the Yaakov Nefarshim here, so he writes the following, the Kvar Her'enu L'mala, Tachov Mutal Akol Ish Mi Yisrael L'hafish Chavero Mi Yisr. Since the Torah imposes an obligation to separate fellow Jews from Averos, Imkein Mikri Chote Ba'atzmo V'zoche Ba'atzmo. So every case of Chatei Kedei Shiyizke Chavercha is now a case where you're helping yourself. Meaning once the Torah imposes an obligation to save fellow Jews, so essentially you're just discharging your obligation towards yourself to help fellow Jews. Okay, so there is no real din, according to this, of your Chatei Kedei Shehu Yizke. It's Chatei Ata Ba'atzmacha Kedei She Tizke. Similarly, the Meiri and Tosa Rush, which we saw, they explain Tosa's answer of Al Yado, that when you cause an Avera, so now you're a Shutaf in the Avera, and you're saving yourself from your Chelek in the Ma'aseh Avera. So they take that first answer in Tosos as referring to an obligation klapei yourself. The Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector in a Tshuva in Ein Yitzchak, in Evan Ezer, Chelek Aleph, Simen Aleph, Anaf Beis, Tshuva's Ein Yitzchak. So he writes, the reason why we say Chatei Kedei Shiyizke Chavercha is because the reason why you would generally say Ein Omrimo La'adam Chatei Kedei Shiyizke Chavercha, i.e. the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Dalet, why would you generally say Ein Omrim Chatei Kedei Shiyizke Chavercha? He says, because the Chi of Arvus will always be more kal of an isser than the isser which you're going to do. I mean, it's the exact opposite of the Maratz Chayos. Maratz Chayos is suggesting that once you have a chi of arvos, so you're helping yourself. The Yitzchak says no. You're being mekayim the mitzvah of arvos will always be a weaker kiyum than whatever avera or mitzvah you're going to be violating. So that's why you say ein om lo ladam chatei kedei shiyizke chavercha. It's very clever interpretation of the whole Safek of the Gemara. I mean, what's greater for you, to violate Arvos or to violate Shabbos? Clearly to violate Arvos. The Tiferes Yaakov, writing on the Gemara and getting on Lamed Ches, so he writes that the reason why mitzvah deravim is shiny in the case of Sheves is because you have an obligation to make sure that this person is mekayim his mitzvah peruva. So mitzvah deravim shiny really is a way of saying that you're zocha atabatzmacha. Same thing with dominion. Your Zocha, Rabbi Lazar was Zocha in the Minyan also. So it's really because Kedei Shehu Yizke Ba'atzma. Puravu, you have an obligation to make sure that other people are Mekayim their Mitzvah Puravu. Okay. There's one point in the Gemara here that's just very complicated. That's not clear. Is the question of what's the internal relationship between the mitzvah and the avera that's happening? What's the relationship between the mitzvah and the avera that's happening? meaning take the olam mem tavodu according to the Ramban. So in that case, there is no avera, right? Because once you have a tzorech for whatever reasons, you're not going to have an iser olam mem tavodu. Right, so when you have this conflict, so you don't even have an avera. Okay, so there you have a very strong internal relationship between the zchus and the avera. In other cases, you have the exact opposite. So take, for example, the case of, I guess, and you might see the Ritva's case in Ervin, the last case that he quotes of Chatei Kedesh Yizka. Anybody remember his last case?
Oh, no.
Or take the case, the regular case of the Gemara in Erevin Lama Biz. Yeah. So nobody thinks that by you saving the Amaretz from not eating Tevel, that you haven't violated the Isser of Chuma Shloman Amukov. Okay? Okay, I feel like I've lost everyone here. But I'm saying in order for something to constitute Chatei Kedesh Yizka, you have to navigate two extremes. You have to navigate the extreme of the Ramban, where you're not dealing with a chatei, right? Because otherwise it's not a case of chatei kedesh yizka. On the other hand, there has to be some sort of link between the Aveira and the Mitzvah. Because otherwise, what justifies you're doing the Aveira to save your friend? Okay? And so those are two extremes that you have to navigate. In between, you have kind of these more neutral cases, like Chal Shabbos Achas Kedesh Yishmor Shabbos Harbe. Now, what does it mean that when you're supposed to... So do you still want to define this as a Chil Shabbos? Seemingly, yes. Right? This is defined as a Chil Shabbos, but it's a justified one.
Sorry, what's the link between Shabbat and Shemot?
What?
If there has to be a link between the Avira and the Mitzvah, what's the link between the Sittin's link and Shemot and breaking from the Shabbat?
Right, so there it doesn't seem to be like an internal relationship between them. I mean, the assumption is that Shabbos is justified in the face of Pikuach Nefesh.
Right. Maybe I misunderstood. What do you mean by there has to be a link between this and the other?
Meaning, yeah, I have to formulate it better. Do you understand what I mean in the opposite direction, though? That if there... When you take the case of Chatei, when you take the case of the Ramban in Gittin, right? So it's clear over there that Chatei shouldn't be relevant.
Okay.
Because there is no Chatei in that circumstance. Right?
Okay.
There is a Chatei,
it's just that once you do it, then
you know. What's the Chatei? There's
no
Isra
Lo'om Ham
Tavodu. I mean, the Mitzvah and the Avera have already reconciled themselves. So now there's nothing left to talk about. Now I'm saying in the opposite direction, I don't have a good example at the top of my head. Right, but if the mitzvah and the avera are too disentangled, right, then there would be no impetus to say chatei kedesh yizka.
So basically, both have to be relevant.
I don't know. I may have to think of it a little more. Okay, so hold off on this last point. Let me formulate it a little more precisely before we come back to it. Okay, so we'll stop here. So I'll make one or two more basic questions, whether there is a Shema Veira in the case of Chatei Kedesh Yizka, and then we'll pick up with the Gemara on Dalet Amud Aleph, same Shaka Vitari, but the question of Afia. Okay, there's some very very important issues here in Afia. The questions that you raised last time about, do you have a Tchila when you put it in the oven, and then it's Mamshich, and then you have some sort of soap. So I'll send out Mar Makomos hopefully tonight on this question of Afia, and we'll just make one or two comments on Chatei Kedesh Yizka.